Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Ask the experts about free fitting on all our kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
There's a brand new series of Home Rescue. It starts tomorrow night, 9:30 on RTE 2. And we're delighted that we've two of the stars of the show, Pete the Builder and interior designer Deirdre Coleman, are here. You're very welcome. Lovely to see you. And of course, this is just grist to the mill at the moment, isn't it? Everybody wants to do the house up because they can't move or do up the interior. Now, let's talk a little bit, first of all, before we talk about the programme, just about, Pete, what's facing people now? Because we know the cost of materials has gone up. People who work in the industry are really busy. You can't really get anybody at the moment. You're very lucky to get tradespeople. Yeah. It's a tough environment out there, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. Like, it's literally, I'd call it the perfect storm of a construction madness, basically. You know, so we've got a housing crisis. We've got a homelessness crisis. We have an energy upgrade system that has to be done. We've got an infrastructure upgrade. There's money in the country. The cost of construction is massive. The cost of materials is huge. There's supply and demand, and there's nobody to do the work. So genuinely, we're in a very, very tough situation, but a good situation. Mm-hmm. We're not, like, you know, there's a lot of negatives in that one statement, but there's also a lot of positives there as well. And the positives that I would like to put out here are that if you're a young person listening to this radio and you're considering a career, consider it a career in construction. There's lots of facets in construction as well. It's not just wheeling a wheelbarrow around and carrying blocks. You can get a trade. You can get into the technology side of things, the sales side of things, the professional side of things. We have built the world. We're famous for building New York and London and all these different places. And now we're in a situation where we need homegrown people, home trained people to do our construction, and we don't have them.
Because previously, you know, in Celtic Tiger years, the workers were coming in, weren't they? Because this was where they were coming to earn the best money.
But that's, it's too expensive now.
It's not the case anymore, is it? You can't get people.
Yeah, the flights for Poland and from Eastern Europe were booked all the time in advance, and then, you know, workers would come across. They'd live here maybe Monday to Friday, and then they'd go home at the weekends. And they could afford to do it, but sure, you can't get accommodation and you can't afford accommodation to do that. Mm-hmm. Also, their own economy has risen, so therefore, we're not as attractive as we used to be for that type of sort of fly-in, fly-out type of work. So we need people on the ground. We need people now. Unfortunately, our drive was always towards an academic education for our youth, and now we're suffering the consequences.
Yeah, I hope people are waking up to that now. You know, that there's a lot than CAO points, you know.
Yes.
Dee, that's a good picture of what's happening in construction. Mm. Interior design, what's happening? What's changing?
Well, they're hand in glove, really, because, you know, if you can't get a builder, you can't do the interior work. One of the things that I've actually found to be almost refreshing, I know this is going to sound a bit strange, but the costs of construction are insane. I know myself, I got my house costed before Putin invaded Russia, then Putin invaded Russia, and I had to scrap the first floor. So, I mean, it was that simple. But one of the things that I'm finding is that I've been talking about it for years, that you don't always need an extension. That the footprint of the house, particularly if you've got an old 60s or 70s house, is often sufficient for your needs. And what we've been doing historically is just throwing an aisle extension on the back and often creating a dark middle. Now, the building costs associated.
But don't people really struggle, though, with storage space, growing family,
they do,
all of that?
And all of that is legitimate. And that comes back to understanding why you're wanting the extension. So you don't always need, if the why is that you need more storage, what we find an awful lot in our practice is actually just by rejigging the rooms. So simple things, like one of the things that really bothers me about new builds, and a lot of our work is coming in, and actually people haven't even lived in the house and we're having to make changes because the wall where there should be a wardrobe has a radiator in the middle of it.
Yeah.
The door where to the right hand side as you go in should be a wardrobe is too close to the wall to allow that to happen. The door swings are going the wrong way. You know, all of these very simple disciplines that if the thought was put into it at the point of design before we get to build would make a huge difference. So yes, it is absolutely crippling. Yes, it's disheartening. I feel like I'm the Grim Reaper when people say to me, I have 150,000, I want to do an extension, a kitchen and two bathrooms. And I go, I'm really sorry, but
it's not
a chance.
Mm-hmm.
But what is it you're trying to fix? What is your problem? Let's look at the footprint that we that you have, and let's see what we can to sweat the existing house and make it work for you.
Okay, I'm just looking at all of these questions that are coming in, and I'm wondering where to start. But I'm just going to close my eyes and stick a pin in it now. So, Anne says that all of their adult children are living independently now. We've made our bathroom bigger by incorporating a bedroom into it and turning another bedroom into an office, and we now have a two-bed house as a result of that. Right? We're considering making our ensuite bathroom into a walk-in wardrobe, and they want to know, would that devalue the house?
So they'll be left with how many bedrooms?
They'd still have two.
Two bedrooms.
But they wouldn't have the ensuite, I suppose, because they're turning it into
a walk-in.
Yeah.
I'll just jump in.
But they must
be
thinking of selling the house. Why does it matter? You know, if
that's exactly it, Claire. That's exactly the question. That's exactly the answer, because if their children have moved away, lucky them. Their children have found a house. They're
gone. We all love our children here.
Yeah, we all love our children here. But I'm also thinking maybe they should consider an apprenticeship, because that would they
absolutely
get paid while
we're solving
they're
a lot of problems here.
We're solving a lot of problems. There's no reason why they should be worried about future value of selling the house if this is their forever home. If they're in their 60s, 70s, they want to make it work for them. Make it work for them.
Mm-hmm. If they're not taking a bedroom away, they're not devaluing their home. So no.
But even at that, I would question whether these days the bedroom count is actually the measure of the value. It's about the functionality of the house.
And if I disagree with you.
The secondary market for that house might not be anything other than people who are downsizing, in which case maybe they're increasing the value of the house. So
okay, let's go through to another one. I'm returning home in late October to my small terrace Victorian home in Cork City. It has been rented out for the past 4 years, so the hope is to have it painted and decorated from top to bottom in one colour, so there's an easy flow. Audie, this is for you. Keeping in character with the age of the house, what would be the best paint and colour? They're also going to put in a small galley, like an IKEA-style kitchen. And what is the best way to find a tradesperson to do that work? I'm hoping to have it all done by Christmas. Best of luck to you.
Good luck.
Best of luck.
I'm
going to
let
Santa Claus quick.
Hit the tradesperson question.
Yeah, well, first thing is a Victorian house, you have to be very careful what paint you actually use.
I'm
talking about the technology of the paint. So the basically you have to use the right type of paint, and it has to be breathable paint. You have to be very careful doing any work on a conservation project. You cannot use modern techniques on old buildings. That's as much as I'm going to say. Over to you.
But where does she find the tradesperson? That's the hardest question.
Yeah, it's very difficult. Honestly, reach out to people within the area. Talk to someone who's done work in the general
area. But she needs to go to a kitchen company. You know, that's what she's talking about.
Look, there's lots of options. I think go and speak to people who are working in the area, get some advice.
Yeah. In terms of the colour, without wishing to support one brand over another, Pete's point is exactly right. You want to go for a paint that's got a low VOC. That means that the chemicals that it emits are minimal or zero. And they are generally breathable paints that will work with any old lime plaster, if it's a lath and plaster house. So there are different, if you have a look, there's the Little Green Paint Company, there's Craftsman, Farron Ball. They will all have those heritage
more
ranges.
For those paints than you would for...
You will. However, I think it's worth it because you don't get the smell of the paint in the house for a long time afterwards. They're non-toxic. Plus, you do get a richness, you get a denser hue in the colours, I believe. What I would recommend in terms of colour is something like a warm grey, not a grey, like there's something like a skimming stone that Farron Ball do. They all do something quite similar. And I would go for a tone darker than maybe like a mole's breath or something in the skirting board, so that you pick out those gorgeous details. Not to be afraid to do the darker colour maybe on the ceiling in one of the grander rooms.
Okay.
So spend the money on the paint.
Right.
Absolutely.
Okay.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Interiors question. We've bought a three-bed bungalow with a very large attic space and substantial garden. We need to create an office somewhere. Are we better off converting the attic and moving the bedrooms up there? They'll be on the smaller size if they do that. Or keep the attic and get a garden office, leaving the bedrooms as they are now. I'm really torn because the attic conversion seems incredibly expensive. Well, before we come to the interior side of that, is an attic conversion really expensive, Pete?
Yeah, look, it's a very broad, sweeping question there. It's very hard to, like, the full information is. Is it a bungalow? Is it a two-story house?
It's a bungalow.
Yeah. So then, converting the attic is very plausible. You can put in, Velux windows. You can, in general, you're only going up one story, so you're not going into the fire regulation zone. So there's lots of good options there. Is an attic conversion more expensive than doing a straight build? I wouldn't think so. The Shomer, I wouldn't advise people to be doing that unless they're only going to use it for a singular use, like a granny flat or a office kind of a space out the back. So my take on it would be, think about the fabric of your house as well. What's going to improve the fabric of your house? And if you're going to build it to the current building regulations, converting your attic, you can double up, you can get grants, you can make sure that you have a really nice living space in your home as well as energy upgrade in your home.
Okay, I'm going to move on. We're going to call that answered and move on. How do I get rid of black and white mould on concrete floors? The house has been partly vacant throughout the year.
There's a new thing called elbow grease out there.
It'll just come back though, won't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, so there's dampness there. So you have to get to the source first. So there's probably no damp-proof membrane underneath the floor. Therefore, it's rising. It could be condensation. There could be lots of different options there. I would obviously ventilate the space if you're seeing mould in any situation. Insulation and ventilation stops condensation and air mould, therefore mould. So, you know, think about it from a technological side first, and then honestly, go out, get some of the non-harmful cleaning agents. There's some amazing ones out there. Spray it on it, give it a rub, be consistent, keep at it, you'll get it sorted.
All right, elbow grease, in other words. Listen, Dee, I want to ask you about the new series,
yes,
which you're here to talk about, but, you know, I'm so distracted now by all the questions coming
so
in.
So am I. I forgot why I was here.
It's tomorrow night and it's 9:30. So
yes.
What can we expect from Home Rescue?
Well, Home Rescue is ostensibly a home makeover show. You've got a before and you've got an after, but it's not. That's just touching the surface of it. It is about the families who are living in those houses and the reason why they put the calls in. Because honestly, if your house was a mess and you were too ashamed to have people come into it, which is often the case, you would have to really need help to put your hand up and allow us in, a crew in, the declutterers in, to empty your house entirely. So we've got some amazing stories this year. The first family are Anne and Peter, and they have been together for 49 years. Peter became blind literally overnight, 90% vision gone. And the house was a mess because Anne is affectionately known as buy me. And none of the wardrobe doors can open for all the stuff that's in front of it. So it's not safe. So Charlene, their daughter, got in touch with us to say, can we declutter? Can we do something to make it habitable for Peter? So in that case, we completely changed the kitchen. We had to do, Pete says, four.
Yeah, it's five rooms. Everybody watch and count the rooms.
Five zones, four rooms. Can everybody watch and let me know who's right?
So we have this battle, don't we, between you two, where Dee, you've got the wish list and Pete comes along and says, can't do it, can't be done, and then you do it.
You know me so well. We've only met each other a couple of times and you know me so well, Claire. No, look, honestly, we've got two very strong people, you know, that are fully committed to getting a huge amount of work done in a very, very short period of time. It's an absolute whirlwind of emotion, drama, construction, all happening at the same time. And, you know, Dee has our unrealistic wish list and I've got an amazing team that are trying to achieve that. And look, you know, we clash heads every now and then, but it's a fantastic team effort. It really is a positive show. And you know what? We were listening to your show earlier on. There's a lot of negativity out there. There's a lot of kind of bad stuff talking about all these people invading and God knows.
We know
too much about that stuff these days. There's a bit of positivity on tomorrow night. Tune in. You'll really enjoy it.
Yeah.
The one thing I would say is it does, it does actually reinforce what people are having to do in their own homes. So like we've got the house in Drimna that has the sort of sacred cow of the good room front to back, east to west, and they love it. But we had to actually choose to sacrifice that and take the tiny kitchen that was in the north corner and spread it across the back of the house, transformed it.
Didn't
and it
check.
Was controversial. It was tight. Even the producers who never interfere said, "Ah, Dee."
I totally supported you, Dee.
You
got the producers on side.
They were worried.
It was a big risk.
Jeopardy. But it does show what you can do within the footprint of the house and the power of actually really thinking about what you need and focusing on solving those problems rather than just building.
There's an added complication to all this as well, is that a lot of people now have adult children living at home who have very strong viewpoints as well, don't they?
New
phenomenon.
And it's real. We did a house up in North Dublin there recently and it was a couple in their 60s. They had actually got planning and got accosted pre-COVID. Then their kids all came back, haven't left, and they weren't able to afford to do the extension. So they were hit double whammy. Now, the house they have is fabulous now. But, you know, your grown-up children having an opinion on the colour of your living room.
You can live here, but you're not allowed to have an opinion. That should be the standard.
Correct.
Listen, we have to leave it there, but thank you so much. And we're looking forward to the show. It's on RTE2 tomorrow night at 9:30. And it's called Home Rescue. Well worth a watch with Pete the Builder Finn and Dee Coleman and all of the rest of the crew there as well.